Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We're in the off season now, and so we're trying to sort of figure out what we do for the show next year going forward. Like, you know, right? Well, listen, we've added Connor. Connor's a full-time member of the show now. We're thrilled to have Connor. Me and you obviously are stuck here. But I do think a shaman would be a nice addition to the staff. Throw him back there.
Yeah, put some ayahuasca on tap.
Absolutely.
Next to the Premier Lager.
Right, exactly.
Summer.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, and welcome back, Lawrence Jackson, to the show. Fellas, how are we feeling? Lawrence, let's start with you. How are you feeling? It's good to see you.
Y'all tried to keep me out.
They did. Conspiracy. For the record, they did. I overruled them.
Okay, thank you. Y'all two tried to keep me out.
Exactly.
But I'm back. Back like I never left.
Nope.
And well, let's get to some football, fellas.
That's absolutely right. Let's dive. You usually jump in. I don't want to.
No.
I'm actually setting myself up nicely here. Before I do the RotoWorld headlines and you jump over it,
No.
I was giving you the floor.
I just don't know why you guys hate Lawrence.
It's a fair question. It's a fair question.
We love Lawrence. You're taking some family time.
I'm on a flight yesterday coming back from Tampa. I get a text say, turn around. It was Connor Rogers.
Two seats behind
there you
him.
Go.
What a delight. What a delight. I've now ridden on a plane with Connor and Jay.
Okay.
But not you.
Fair enough. Understood.
So maybe you the one that don't like me.
Yeah, it makes him feel
good. I don't like you on my plane.
That's fair.
I fly, you know.
I fly with the little people. We know that.
Come on. I mean, like, you know, whatever.
Yes.
We got to talk to your agents. We got to get you up to the first class.
I was going
to
say,
I'm on that Lamar Jackson right now.
You're representing yourself?
Yes, sir.
Fair enough.
Waiting for the next.
But listen, you were two rows ahead of Connor. So
that's true.
At least there's something there.
Yeah. You can only go so far back on the plane.
Where are you guys flying back from?
Tampa.
Oh, from Tampa. You just said that. Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
All right. Let's jump right into the RotoWorld headlines here. And starting with a pretty big one. NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah reports the Titans are a team to keep an eye on to move up to the number 3 overall pick. It's been obvious conversation, guys, that this could be a quarterback draft if Arizona moves out of that spot. We know Ryan Tannehill on the last year of his deal. This would be a big move.
It would be a big move, and it sort of says two things, right? I mean, I think most people expect the first two quarterbacks to be, in some order, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
Yep.
Yes.
So basically, and I think that most other people, and Connor, your skill set here specifically, but like feels like that the two quarterbacks that are the most NFL ready are those two guys. That whether it's Levis, whether it's Richardson, Hendon, Hooker, exactly. That they're all sort of projects. So for Tennessee to move up to 3, they're like, hey, we're going to draft one of those guys, maybe Richardson. That's going to be somebody that can develop under Tannehill for a year. So I think it's really interesting. I don't think it would affect how we feel about the Titans this year, because again, whoever they draft is likely backing up Ryan Tannehill. Unless somehow miraculously Stroud or Young falls, I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not.
But I think it says two things. I think it does feel like, you know, the end is near for Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, and also just a complete lack of confidence in Malik Willis.
Yes.
Who last year, you know, all people were saying like a lot of the same things. Again, sort of different players in terms of how they're built, but. You know, a lot of the things you were saying about Malik Willis is what people are saying about Anthony Richardson this year, which is, you know, like unbelievable athletic talent, incredible upside, but raw and needs to develop. And feels like, you know, Malik Willis got a cup of coffee last year and just felt like, wasn't ready for prime time, Connor.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a new GM there in Rand Carthon who can afford to make this move. He could trade future picks and let a quarterback season there behind Tannehill. And he has time. And, you know, when you look at the difference between them, number one, too, when you hear Vrabel talk about Malik Willis last year, they were just terrified to put him on the field. They were not comfortable with that. So I think there's no ties to this GM and this regime.
With a playoff berth on the line, they started Josh Dobbs.
Like,
I love Josh Dobbs, but right.
Yes.
But, I mean, Josh Dobbs had been there for, like, literally, like, was still learning guys' names. You know, where's my locker? Like, and they were like, well, forget your locker. You've got to go now start a playoff game. Like, he had just gotten there.
I don't know why people are so obsessed with not loving Ryan Tannehill. What's wrong with Ryan Tannehill? Why is Ryan Tannehill worse than Daniel Jones or Derek Carr or Jimmy Garoppolo, guys who just got deals? Like, Tannehill's fine.
He's not. He's totally fine. I agree with you. He is a completely fine and competent quarterback. It's just, for whatever reason, feels like they're out on him, whether they feel like his career is ending. Like, by the way, this could be smoke.
But you see all those guys you just named, they're on new teams now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. And I saw a tweet earlier about the highest paid quarterbacks for this season. Number one is Patrick Mahomes. Number two is Ryan Tannehill.
Okay,
so there you go. When you put it in that perspective,
right,
then it makes sense. And just a quick note, the Titans are one of the five or six teams that Anthony Richardson we'll be having a visit with, too.
And I love that fit. And you look at why not Tannehill? Well, you're at a crossroads. You extend him now at age 35 coming off injuries, or you just let him play out the expiring deal with a guy like Richardson behind him, and maybe that's what they're thinking. Let's take a look at the draft order to show what kind of leap this would be. And, Lawrence, I'll throw this to you as well with the draft order. If not the Titans, we know Arizona is completely in on selling this pick. Is there another team that you would like to see jump up and make that move for what we are presuming is to get ahead of the Colts for Richardson, as he's kind of really the consensus QB3 now?
Yeah, look, you got the Raiders there. You got the Falcons there. The Seahawks is a name that a lot of people talk about. That is not one of the teams that has yet to schedule a visit with Anthony Richardson.
And they met the other quarterbacks.
Yes, right. Now, that doesn't mean everything, but he's meeting with the Ravens as well. So the Seahawks not being in that group makes me like the Raiders here, the Falcons, even the Lions. The Lions could be in play, and that'll be a different situation for a guy like Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, as to where you know they not starting right off the bat. On the Raiders and the Falcons, that could be – well, even the Raiders, too, you got Jimmy G. But on the Falcons, that'll be a different story. They'll bet out there. So I like those particular teams. And then you got the Commanders out there, too.
There we go, Matthew Berry.
Matthew.
Look, I mean, honestly, I think it's unlikely. But if a sale happens and a new owner comes in taking over for Daniel Snyder, whether it's the Josh Harris group, whether it's the Canadian billionaire whose last name I can't pronounce yet, if he buys the team, I'll learn how to pronounce it. You know, and if he doesn't, then whatever. It's I'm Team Josh Harris at the moment. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is that you could see new ownership saying, like, hey, I want to make a splash. Mm-hmm. Go up, you know, go get me one of these guys.
Right.
So you could certainly see that, right? I don't think that's likely to happen. I think if they were going to make it's more likely maybe they try to figure out something for Lamar. I keep holding out hope. It's dimming every day, you know. But anyway, I think to your point, somebody's gonna jump up there. Like, it's too tantalizing.
To me, the Colts are the most interesting team in the draft because they're at four, and so it's likely that Stroud and Young are going to be gone. Looks like Richardson will probably be gone because someone will trade up to three. Now, that could be Indianapolis who does that. But at the same time, they're going to be four, and it's like, Will Levis trade for Lamar Jackson? Because they've got pieces. That defense is good. You've got Michael Pittman, Jonathan Taylor,
right,
Quentin Nelson.
And they can't afford to miss.
I mean,
how many shots is Chris Ballard going to get it?
Well, 100%. And by the way, I mean, let's be clear, right? I mean, but it's one of those things that's like, whether it's Richardson or Levis, whoever they draft is a project, right? So, like, to your point, this is a team that's built to sort of win now. Like, and that was the idea when they've tried for the last 2 years with Wentz and Matt Ryan, quarterbacks that they thought were, like, you know, guys that could take them to the next level, professional NFL quarterbacks. And obviously, neither guy worked out.
No,
but,
sir.
But we don't expect Richardson or Levis to be that guy either for this year.
It'll be Gardner Minshew.
Right now it's Gardner Minshew, God bless.
Let's continue on with the potential quarterback carousel. Here's an interesting one. Bill Belichick, non-committal about Mac Jones starting in 2023. And as we were getting ready for the show, guys, our own Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk said his sources have told him Belichick has actually shopped Mac Jones to multiple teams this offseason. So Bailey Zappe show maybe looming or something bigger for New England.
Potentially. I mean, New England is one of the teams that have been sort of rumored to be in the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. Intrepid reporter Meek Mill.
We got to get him on here.
What?
We got to get him on here.
Yes.
Because he knows.
I don't personally know Meek. If one of you could text him and we get him on here, that'd be great.
I'll hook that up.
Could you? That would be great. But we love Meek here. We are a pro Meek Mill show. I will say that this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And what's weird is that, by the way, if the Commanders traded for Mac Jones, I'd be in on it. I like Mac Jones. Like, I think the offense for New England last year was a complete mess, and I don't think that was all necessarily Mac Jones' fault. Like, I think there was, you know, confusion among the play calling. I didn't think they really had an offensive, identity, if you will. A lot of pieces in and out in terms of who was hurt, you know, in terms of the receivers, in terms of the running backs. Like, they just didn't have a lot going on. I still think Mac Jones is a solid NFL quarterback, not a fantasy option, but a solid NFL quarterback. But I don't think it matters for our purposes, whether it's Bailey Zappe or Mac Jones under center for the Patriots. It does not matter fantasy-wise. The only time it gets interesting is if they wind up with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we need to get better, essentially, is what it would be.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean,
losing him, they're not going to go down, like you said, what we saw last year.
Right, and the truth is that there's no Patriot, guys. You guys tell me, but other than Ramondre Stevenson, is there any New England Patriot that you're interested in remotely? Like, I think you could make a Hunter Henry argument if you're desperate at tight end as like a high end tight end too, a touchdown dependent tight end too. But other than that, like, there are other slot receivers I'd rather have than Juju Smith-Schuster and where he's going to go. Yeah. None of the other receivers are interesting to me, Lawrence.
Look how we talked about Juju leading up to last season. That's because he had Patrick Mahomes. We ain't about to be talking about him to say where there's Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones. Now, if it was Lamar, then we talking about him, right? And we definitely would be talking about Hunter Henry, right? Because of Lamar and the Mark Andrews. But, we good.
Yeah, I'm buying Mac Jones stock. Buying it. I'm at a low point right now. Buying Mac Jones stock, Russell Wilson stock. Mac Jones is fantastic his rookie season.
I agree.
And he was better than his numbers. He got a lot of drop, bad luck, a lot of interception, bad luck. Mac Jones is a good quarterback. You know, land on his feet.
Not a great offense in terms of scheme and play calling.
Yeah, Patricia,
it's pretty hard to go lower than that. All right. Speaking of non-committal, Bengals executive vice president Katie Blackburn, when asked if Joe Mixon would be the team's starting running back in 2023, she said, "Right now he's on the team. And we are going to count on him until that wouldn't be the case." Jay, not exactly the vote of confidence that you typically hear for a guy that's been, you know, their franchise running
by the way,
for a couple years.
That's the exact quote that NBC said about me, by the way.
He's asked about me. He's on the
team. Matt Berry is currently on our roster. Yes.
Yes.
He currently has a show for Peacock. Yes.
And until he doesn't.
Right. Exactly.
We're not talking about
it. No, correct.
Yeah, so Joe Mixon's not going to be on the Bengals.
It really feels that way.
He's gone. He's gone. He's not coming back after that.
They save over, if they get rid of, if they trade him or release him, I think he's, especially if it's a post-June 1st cut, they save over $7 million of the cap, right? And you think about this team, they're trying to get a long-term deal with T. Higgins done.
Yeah.
They know they're going to have to pay up for Ja'Marr Chase here coming up soon. Mm-hmm. They want to get a big deal done for Joe Burrow, who's looking around and seeing all these contracts as well. Like, they've got a lot of money they know they have to spend, and so Mixon feels expendable, especially at that price tag. When you think about how much production they got out of Samaje Perine. Now, Perine, obviously on the Denver Broncos, we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show, but the fact is that they've shown that whoever is sort of the starting running back of that offense can be productive for them. Now, they don't have a lot on the roster right now. Chris Evans, Travion Williams. I've always sort of loved Travion Williams. You know, I'm a Texas A&M guy.
Yes,
I'm a Texas A&M guy. I believe when
this
he came,
is the year?
He was the leading rusher in the SEC.
Talk
the
him
year
up,
he came
baby.
Out.
Talk him up.
I'm just
Let's
saying.
Go. Talk him up, baby. Let's
man,
go.
The man was the leading rusher in SEC history when he came out, right? That is a fact. So I'm just, I mean, like, it's the SEC, Lawrence. We ain't talking like,
I'm an SEC guy. I'm with you now. Right. I'm with you.
There's a lot of great running backs that came out of the SEC and Travion Williams. Anyway, I've always had a soft spot for Travion Williams. My guess is that they either draft somebody or Ezekiel Elliott. That's been one of the places that he's been rumored to
Maybe
go.
Both.
Maybe Leonard Fournette. You know, there's a couple of veterans out there that you could see landing there and suddenly having a lot of fantasy value, whoever is the starting running back for the Bengals.
If Bijan Robinson goes there, all of a sudden it's the greatest fantasy team of all time.
Absolutely.
Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, Bijan Robinson be madness.
That'd be something.
And I think that's where you root for Bijan Robinson to go right now. When you look at the first round, that's the place where he walks in and he's a superstar instantly. He's probably a superstar wherever he goes, but the touches and the workload in a great offense, that's the one with the ceiling.
And your big board is coming up later,
yes.
Connor.
Yes,
we'll
it
get
is.
Into that. Bijan Robinson guy, pretty decent player. All right, we'll keep it moving here. The Odell Beckham courting chase continues on, the longest courting we've ever seen for a free agent wide receiver. And now the Ravens are involved. Per Adam Schefter, they have made Odell an offer. We don't have details of the offer, of
course.
Is
it to play quarterback?
That's the thing. Very interesting. Is he signing on there when they don't even know if Lamar Jackson right. will be there? The Jets are the second team to have also made an offer. So not a lot of teams in this one right now, Lawrence, and it kind of has felt like Odell's been waiting to see that Rodgers trade to go through, but it's interesting another team finally officially in.
Odell probably waiting on two guys, either Aaron Rodgers or Lamar Jackson, because neither the Jets or the Ravens have their quarterback on their – well, they're technically on the roster.
Locked in.
But neither one of them are happy there.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So if Lamar was there and everything was all good – Odell probably would have signed with them already. Same could be said with
the Jets and Rodgers,
right? Odell Beckham, for Lamar, that would be the best receiver he's ever had, right? And he's still kind of living off of that player, that late season run with the Rams, which was legit. You know, he was going on to be Super Bowl MVP, so you feel good about him in either one of those spots, even though it's not 10 or 12 teams lined up to get him.
Well, you're also right, because when you make the decision to sign Odell Beckham, it's a couple things. Number one is, right, can he be as effective? Yes, he was effective with the Rams.
Yeah.
But they also, they had to deal with Cooper Kupp, and not everyone's got a play caller like Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. So you're dealing with that. Secondly, like, he's a year and a half older. Mm-hmm. He's had a major, major injury. And this is somebody that, by the way, was not productive in Cleveland, was up and down in New York. Like, he is a big name. He's a famous player. But he's also, like, if you're a general manager, you're a head coach, you sign on Odell Beckham, like, I get the talent, but there's also some headaches, right? There's a lot of paparazzi. There's a lot of, like, media, and, like, you're just like, do I need that? You know, maybe if you're the Jets and Aaron Rodgers saying, like, get me somebody elite, but, like, if I'm the Jets, I'm like, it's already going to be a circus with freaking Aaron Rodgers in town. Like, do I want to add to that?
Would it be something? Really Odell would. And Aaron Rodgers.
In New York.
That's why we need
in
that.
New York media.
We need that.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
get
this
that
one,
for Connor. We this, got oh, challenging
this
one, this one's yeah. like, yeah. man, I'm going to have a, when I do my SNY pregame show, it's literally going to just say two lines
it's
on the rundown.
It's written for me. I don't even have to do any pregame work anymore.
100%. It's Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham, Aaron Rodgers. That's all it is.
Can't ask for an easier year.
Yeah, no. Aaron, Odell, and Connor. It's like LeBron, Wade, and Bosch.
Yes, exactly.
Which one am I in?
You're Bosch.
I had a feeling I was not
Bosch.
Getting the Wade or LeBron treatment.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But anyway, so I mean, like, I personally think at this point, and again, let's see where he lands, but I will just say, I think at this point, Odell Beckham Jr. is a much bigger name than fantasy impact
Absolutely.
Player at this point. He'll be he is likely to be overdrafted because of the name.
Be good for football.
Yes.
For football purposes. Because, like, if you got Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham as your two receivers, like, that's great for football purposes.
Yeah, no, 100%. Listen, the NFL is more fun with Odell in it. I'm just, you know, Definitely. For our
yeah,
purposes,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know. So I'm with you. Anyway.
You know what was fun? Last week, the whole Trey Lance, Brock Purdy back and forth between Barry and Jay, and we did get to hear from Kyle Shanahan this week on that exact topic, saying Trey Lance has a chance.
Before we play,
and we're going to hear from Shanahan.
Before we play Kyle, I just want to just reset for anyone that missed. Basically, Jay couldn't understand why Brock Purdy had earned the right after he went undefeated.
That's correct.
You know, he didn't understand why Brock Purdy had earned the right to be the starter, which is what John Lynch called him. Jay questioned that. Anyway, so Jay questioned that. I questioned Jay.
And the media is questioning Kyle Shanahan.
Let's see what he said.
Jimmy got hurt and opened it up for Brock. And Brock played 8 games and won all of them and played at an extremely high level. And we're very excited to have that level of a player as our quarterback. Now, we believe Trey can be that. I think he would have done it last year if he stayed healthy. The good thing for him is with Brock being hurt and stuff, he has an opportunity to try to regain that and everything. And that's also why we brought in Sam, because we can't be set for sure on Brock, because you never know how the injury will go. We think it will go well, and we're optimistic about it, but right now that's on hold. And so it opens up an opportunity for Trey and for Sam to come in and show us what they have.
Can a guy like Trey win the job without playing games, whereas Brock, what he did was on the field.
I think it's going to be harder for him, too. I mean, Brock played in 8 games, and, you know, Trey had that job going into last season, and if he would have played 8 games like that, it would no one else would have been able to come in and beat him out. But with Brock being hurt, it does open him up and does give him a chance.
That feels like Kyle Shanahan is hashtag Team Matthew.
Firstly,
that's what I heard.
I like Shanahan's look. It's kind of like Paul Rudd meets David Duchovny in Californication. Kind of this like very kind of laid-back vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that. Secondly, there's not much track record for a guy being drafted third overall and not getting a chance to fail, is all I'm saying. And Brock Purdy came in and he was great and he went 8-0 as a starter. I get it. He's also not perfect. He throws some balls up for grabs, and I just think that I was surprised that they were so emphatic that it is Brock Purdy's job when Lance just hasn't had a chance to fail yet and they use so much draft equity on him. I just thought it would have been more of a camp battle, and seemingly it's not.
Right. Well, no. I mean, he just said. He said it's a camp battle. He said it's a camp battle between Trey and Sam Darnold. Literally, just so you know, like, third overall pick, and they're just like, oh, and that's why we brought in Sam. Not like, hey, we all have the he's going to have the opportunity to potentially, how many caveats could Shanahan fit into one sentence? He'll potentially have the opportunity maybe compete to maybe possibly.
I just think that there are reasons why Lance was the third overall pick, even if you disagree with them.
The ceiling's higher.
Were there reasons that Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft, Connor?
I mean, absolutely. With Purdy, he was a 4-year starter in college, and he kind of went like this and unfortunately ended on a downward trend. And what's that?
Let me keep going. Now, that 4-year starter thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lawrence, skewing a team.
And did not end very well, and decision-making was always the problem with Brock Purdy. The reason they drafted Trey Lance or moved up to get Trey Lance and took him instead of Mac Jones was it brought a running element to an offense that is beautifully scripted up. And if you add a running element at the quarterback position to the Niners offense with Shanahan, you think that it's really limitless there. But like you said, Jay, unfortunately for Trey Lance, he hasn't been able to stay healthy and develop on that timeline.
What do you got, Lance?
So I like that Brock Purdy started them mini games in college. The thing about it is when Trey Lance plays, Brock Purdy has more NFL experience than him right now. Sure. Going into year 2 and 3, and he's done it at a much higher level than Trey Lance. Yeah. The pick at this point, that is the further you get along, to me, that matters less and less. In fact, the 49ers could be feeling like, well, damn, in the back of their mind, like we might have missed here. But it doesn't matter because we hit on the 7th-round pick who we went undefeated with all the way to the NFC Championship. If these two dudes was completely healthy right now, you could tell how he's talking. It would easily be Brock Purdy.
I think, go ahead. To me, the thing is that, so with Brock Purdy, like, there's not that much ceiling there. There's a reason he was the last pick, and yes, he's going to be a very capable steward, and maybe that's all that offense needs. And look, Kyle Shanahan knows a lot more about the team and everything than I do. I'm wearing the same clothes as Lawrence. I don't really know what's going on. But with Trey Lance, Trey Lance has incredible upside. And I would have thought that giving him a chance, letting him fail, and then bringing Brock in, that might lead to the higher upside opportunities. But it seems like Brock's the guy.
Right. And two things I think it's important here. First off, I think if Jay had been running the Patriots, Tom Brady never would have gotten on the field. Sixth-round pick.
Yeah,
Sixth-round pick. True. I'm stick with Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
Right, exactly.
Higher upside.
but beyond that, I think yes. But I wonder if Kyle Shanahan learned something last year, which is, like, he had higher upside with Trey Lance. They were going to give it to him, be a running team, and just, you know, do all that zone read stuff. But then when Lance got hurt and Garoppolo came in, and they just started winning, right? And then Brock Purdy, who's kind of Garoppolo-like, right? I mean, maybe Kyle Shanahan is like, you know what my team needs? They just need somebody like that. They can just, you know, our offense is good enough. We now have McCaffrey, so we now have an element that we didn't have when we drafted Trey Lance in terms of, you know, versatility. Debo is Debo. Like, we have a bunch of different guys that we can create mismatches with, so maybe we don't need the running element. We just need somebody who can run the offense competently. That's what we had in Garoppolo, and that's what we found out with Brock Purdy, who went 8-0. Jay Croucher.
Trey Lance.
He might have higher upside, but it's just like, that's a team built to win the Super Bowl, and you can't be going like, well, let's see what we got.
How long can you chase the upside?
Exactly. They have a window.
His upside ain't Justin Fields, Anthony Richardson type upside. That's what I tell you. Trey Lance ain't
the same runner.
Yeah, it ain't like that.
Before we get to free agency, love, hate, a reminder, every season is draft season. Get your Roto-World Draft Guide bundle today and dominate your football, baseball, and basketball drafts. Packed with profiles, rankings, projections, order today and get all three Roto-World Draft Guides for the price of two. Plus, use promo code BERRY and save an extra 20% at checkout.
If a friend asks how you're doing and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
All right, fellas. Let's get into a little love-hate free agency edition. That is on NBC Sports Edge right now for free if you haven't read it from Matthew Berry. We're going to go through the big notable names here. And let's start with the two running backs at the top here, Berry, with Josh Jacobs and Tony Pollard.
And just to be clear, love-hate doesn't mean that I necessarily love or hate these players, but I love their if their fantasy value improved as a result of free agency, they're on the love list. If their fantasy value went down because of what happened in free agency, they're on the hate list. And it doesn't necessarily need to be the player that left a team or went to another team. It could be other teammates leaving, that kind of stuff. So
and that's
it's all
where,
just about the free agency moves in a whole.
And that last part is where we start. These two guys, Josh Jacobs and Tony Pollard, coming off great seasons, have not left their teams. They are both on franchise tag numbers, but it's the scenarios around the guys around them that have left that increase the upside for them going into next year.
I mean, I think this is very simple, right? Josh Jacobs is back on a Raiders team that did nothing but run him. Like, he was a top five fantasy running back last year. He was the third best running back in terms of fantasy points per game. He led all running backs in total touches. So he's back on the Raiders with Josh McDaniels as his head coach, and there's no real competition at the moment for anyone else. They didn't go out and do anything, and we'll see what they do in the draft, but they have a lot of needs. I think the expectation here is that it's going to be, especially given the fact that they got Jimmy Garoppolo, like, you're not suddenly – you know, now we're doing a high flying offense. So we got Jimmy G. Jimmy G is a game manager, and so I think it's going to be a similar offense as last year. And as for Tony Pollard, they lost Ezekiel Elliott. That's the key. He's back there, and so I mean, they signed Rojo, whatever. I mean, I know we've had songs about Ronald Jones on this show, but other than that, like, Tony Pollard is going to flirt with top five fantasy running back numbers if the Cowboys don't add anyone significant in free agency. You know, Fournette's still out there. There's rumors maybe Zeke does come back on a small restructured deal. Feels like that's done, but you never know. But at the moment, and we're shooting this on April 4th, at the moment, Tony Pollard is the main guy in what's going to be a very good offense. Top five running back, I think.
Jay, how about Ramondre Stevenson last year? Finishing RB10 in points per game was a big workhorse in terms of the receiving workload he got in this offense. He makes Barry's list as well, the love list as well.
Yeah, I think the thing to remember with Ramondre is that he was banged up all the second half of last season, just constantly on the injury report. I think he had an ankle thing, and he had stretches where he looked like a bona fide top five running back and has that upside going forward. So, yeah, I think he is a guy who certainly shouldn't be written off because of his full season stats. Also dealing with Damian Harris the whole time as well. Like, I would not be shocked at all if Ramondre Stevenson ends next year as a top three, top five running back. He's got that potential.
Especially with Harris moving on. And at the moment, James Robinson, the only real competition for Ramondre Stevenson, doesn't feel like Stevenson proved last year he can be an every down back. And whether it's Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, you know, the expectation here is that the running game will be a focal point once again.
They're going to work him.
Yeah, I love Ramondre Stevenson.
Lawrence, how about this duo for the Lions? David Montgomery makes the love list, but because of that, DeAndre Swift makes the hate list.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. What's interesting about Montgomery going to the Lions, right, you could tell they prioritized him because he signed a similar deal than what Jamal Williams signed to go to the Saints and mess up Kamara's fantasy value even more. Montgomery, interesting thing here. What he brings that Jamal Williams didn't have was the catching ability, the pass catching ability out the backfield. Averaged 43 catches per season the last 3 years. So he'll bring that element. And, of course, at the same time, that'll hurt DeAndre Swift because that's what we know him for 10 to 12 touches and catching the ball out of the backfield. But the Lions really wanted this dude. So I don't see how this is not good for Montgomery in any type of good for Swift because we know he's talented. We've known that since the day he got drafted, but it doesn't matter to the Lions. And he can't stay healthy, too, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly don't want DeAndre Swift to touch the ball more than 8 to 10 times a game. They want to limit him. And so somebody like Montgomery, who doesn't really get hurt, who can handle a big workload, who is more versatile than Jamal Williams, to your point. Although I do feel like Jamal Williams is also a good pass catcher. They just didn't use him like that for whatever reason in Detroit. But the fact of the matter is that role, that Jamal Williams role, 262 carries, 17 rushing touchdowns last year, 38 goal-to-go carries, feels like that's going to be David Montgomery. And, you know, again, we think Dave Montgomery might be a better running back than Jamal Williams. Certainly will have, should have more opportunity than Jamal Williams did last year.
To round out the running back love list, Rashad Penny, obviously there's some upside there going to Philadelphia. It's all about health with Penny. We know that. Rashad White, Leonard Fournette leaves Tampa, gets cut from Tampa, and Samaje Perine, who was effective as Joe Mixon's backup last year, finding a new home in Denver as well. Barry, what do you see? Which one of these three do you see at least has the highest ceiling?
The highest ceiling is Rashad Penny, because his question is health. Great offense, great offensive line, home run ability. This is a guy that was 2 years ago, over the last five games of the season, the number one running back in fantasy. Started the season strong last year for Seattle as well. So, again, if he's healthy, which feels like that should be his legal name, Rashad Penny, if he can stay healthy, that should be his actual name. But, like, he has the highest ceiling. But all those guys, I mean, again, with Leonard Fournette moving off of Tampa Bay, Rashad White, you know, Todd Bowles talking about the fact that he – hopes he can be a three-down back. Like, that's the opportunity for Rashad White. We saw what he did. And then Sean Payton, talking about our friend Mike Florio over at Pro Football Talk, just had a story earlier today about Sean Payton talking about how important Samaje Perine was. He was a priority because of the injury they're dealing with Javonte Williams and how he likes to use multiple running backs. Samaje Perine's going to have more fantasy value than he did last year, where he's just insurance for Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and Denver spent all their free agency money on blockers, both offensive linemen and tight end. So it kind of tells you the identity of where that offense is going to go.
I think there is a very good chance, maybe very strong, I think there is a better than average chance that a year from now we're talking about the best fantasy running back on the Broncos last year was Samaje Perine.
Sure.
That whether Javonte Williams misses some time or whatever, like, I just think he's going to have the most consistent fantasy value. He's going to play the most games. And it's definitely going to be the better draft day value, I think.
Yep, I much prefer that to your Brock Purdy as the next Tom Brady take. Yep, that's a good one.
I don't believe I said that.
It was implied.
I just know you hate Tom Brady, my best friend Tom Brady.
Yeah, I do.
I know BFF Tom Brady.
Sure, it's actually a little personal now.
It was weird when I met Tom Brady in Australia. In Tampa Bay. He asked me about it. He's like, "What's with the weird Australian? What's the hate from him?" And I said, he hates everything.
Well, it's good Tom Brady's worried. Well,
yeah. That's why I let you close out the hate list here, Jay, with Khalil Herbert and Deontay Foreman. And then one more here. Alexander Mattison makes the hate list as a lot of Dalvin Cook trade rumors this offseason, and nothing really comes to fruition.
Just can't get that breakthrough, Alexander Mattison.
Yes,
just doesn't
he's
get
waiting.
That breakthrough role to really kind
2 weeks every year for he'll win you the week.
Yeah, exactly. It's a shame for hopefully. I feel like they should just be put apart, Cook and Madison. Let's just let Madison thrive, because I'm not sure he's that much worse than Dalvin Cook. Certainly when he's been given the opportunity, he's been fantastic. Khalil Herbert.
But he makes the hate list because Dalvin Cook is still there.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with that. Khalil Herbert, I mean, I would have liked to see him really get run as the true number one with David Montgomery gone, but it looks like, again, he's going to be, you know, not have that full opportunity, so I understand that as well. I do think these guys, they're just given a little bit more leash than, I guess people have now just committed, though, to having multiple options. There are just so few true workhorse number one backs.
Yeah, Herbert was one of those guys that, as soon as Montgomery left, jumped up on the love list, and then they signed Foreman. You're like, back down again.
Another move with those two that's going to be good for the Bears' offense, going to be good for football, but it's going to be tough. Like Deontay Foreman coming off 900 yards and five touchdowns.
Good.
That's going to be like a – it's going to annoy you in fantasy. So, you know, just try your best to avoid it.
Especially because they've got, you know, a very mobile quarterback that's going to take a lot of runs as well.
Lawrence, what I missed on the hate list, of course, Alvin Kamara. And you brought up earlier Jamal Williams going to New Orleans. And then even with Kamara, there could be a pending suspension at hand. Just a lot not going in his direction heading into next season.
Yeah, man. You know, he wasn't suspended last year. And it was still hard to, you know, trust him as his old self from a fantasy perspective. Now, you get Jamal Williams now. That's definitely a dude that's taking goal line touches. And now, remember, when Alvin Kamara was at his best, he had Mark Ingram right there, but that's when he was catching 80 passes every season. That's no longer happening now without Drew Brees. So Now you get Derek Carr in there, and, you know, that's a different type of quarterback than a Drew Brees. So now you have a guy who's going to take your goal line touches, and sometimes you're not healthy, and you might get suspended. So it's a crazy situation. I never thought we would see Kamara in this position.
But, right, to your point, there's a potential looming suspension. He wasn't great last year. He disappointed last year. And that was when he had Mark Ingram. And Jamal Williams, whatever you think of Jamal Williams, Jamal Williams is an upgrade over the last couple of years of Mark Ingram.
Yes.
Like, you know,
yeah,
so, like,
sure. Yeah.
There's more competition for Kamara in that backfield on an offense that we have questions about.
Yeah, but it's competition, looming potential suspension, and also it's been 3 years since he was good because he was bad in 2021 as well. So there's too much. Obviously, he can turn it around, but there's a lot of things stacked against him.
A lot of little injuries along the way, it feels like, with Kamara each season. Barry, you lead off your pass catcher's love list with two of the most impressive rookies in football last year, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Both guys, obviously, are getting new quarterbacks for next year.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, whatever you think of Derek Carr as a quarterback fantasy-wise, in the NFL, what he can do really well is he can throw the deep ball, right? Top five last year in terms of deep ball rate and deep completions. In fact, that's over the last two seasons. And so, you know, we saw, like, obviously Devonta Adams had huge numbers with him as well. We've seen Darren Waller put up big numbers with Derek Carr as his guy. Hunter Renfrow became a thing. So Chris Olave, who's just phenomenally talented, like, you know, and was putting up numbers with Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
I think we all agree Derek Carr is an upgrade over Andy Dalton, over Jameis Winston. And so second year for Olave. We don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas either. Olave is going to be the lead wide receiver this offense, and I think he's a borderline top 10 wide receiver next year.
And this too, Derek Carr, who was quarterback 17 last year, which that ain't good, but it didn't matter because Devonta Adams was still a top 3 to 5 fantasy option at receiver. So, and that person now will be Chris Olave.
They're going to chuck it deep, and they're going to chuck it deep to Olave, and Derek Carr can do that. And then you asked me about Garrett Wilson. Look, the expectation here is that Aaron Rodgers becomes the New York Jets starting quarterback, and it's just a matter of when. And so getting Aaron Rodgers, so I'm cheating a little bit because as of the time I'm writing this column, he doesn't really have a quarterback. But the expectation is he's going to get Rodgers. He loses Elijah Moore, so there's a little, you know, Elijah Moore goes to Cleveland, so there's slightly less target competition. But whatever. I'm not worried about Alan Lazard. Garrett Wilson's really, really good. And he's about to get a massive upgrade at quarterback.
Yeah. Jay, next up on the list was K.J. Osborne. And with him, when you look at Minnesota losing Adam Thielen, and Thielen and Irv Smith, they leave 143 more targets in this offense. There was times where Osborne had some pretty big weeks last year. Now it seems like more opportunity will be on the table, even if Minnesota adds a wide receiver in the draft.
Yeah, well, he had those two massive games against the Giants and the Bears where he was over 100 yards. Sorry, against the Colts and the Bears.
Yeah.
And also, he sprinkled in some other big games, too, and now with Thielen gone. Now, Hockenson being there for a full season might take away a little bit, but I think with how much that team throws the ball and the attention that Jefferson gets, Osborne should definitely be a viable fantasy guy next season.
Then, if you've heard Kirk Cousins talk about Osborne, it's in glowing terms.
And then you brought up Hockenson as well. He made the love list too. Finishes last year as tight end 4 in points per game with 12.7. And Barry, it felt like, I mean, obviously, there's just more for him in that offense than how the Lions use their tight end. So kind of a big year for Hockenson going into the next season.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Irv Smith also gone from the team. Like, not a huge name, but the fact of the matter is that, right, every tight end snap is really going to go to T.J. Hockenson, every tight end snap that we care about. And so with no Thielen in the middle of the field, Osborne, you know, feels like the middle of the field is much more now with Thielen and Irv Smith gone. Osborne can take some deep routes. So my expectation here is that just, I think, a massive target share at a fairly thin position in terms of tight end is coming T.J. Hockenson's way.
Lawrence, this is a fun one. Jameson Williams, obviously we knew he was going to be rehabbing to kick off last season. Now D.J. Chark leaves Detroit. This is Jameson Williams' deep threat role in an offense where Jared Goff ranked top 5 in completion rate on deep passes. This is an offense that could throw the ball down the field, and they got a premier deep target that's healthy.
Yeah, and this is good. Jameson Williams is going to be a guy when they come around to do your drafts and redraft leagues. He's going to be that deep sleeper like, you know, maybe some people thought, including myself, Paris Campbell would be last year. Uh-oh. But I feel a lot better with that with Jameson Williams based on, you know, the draft capital, the prospect profile. If he didn't have that ACL injury, he would have went ahead of Drake London as the first receiver taken in the draft. So you add that to an already explosive Lions offense with Amon-Ra St. Brown kind of working as that slot guy. So now you get Jameson Williams in here, it's all systems go.
How about this bounce back one? Darren Waller makes the love list. And for Waller, you take away the injuries, we know what he can do on the field. And Barry, it has to be also that for the Giants, they need a big-bodied pass catcher out there with all these smaller receivers around
them.
They
do, and it feels like the Giants have signed every single wide receiver out there. Like they have
every slot.
It's unbelievable. But the fact is none of them are Darren Waller. It's injuries have derailed them the last couple of years. But last season, Daniel Jones targeted crossing routes at the third highest rate. So I think when you think about sort of his skill set, where Daniel Jones is comfortable throwing the ball, which is the middle of the field, and especially on those crossing routes, which is Waller is so good. He's such a matchup nightmare that I think Brian Daboll, who's such a creative play caller, will have a lot of fun having a big body like Darren Waller. So he upgrades because he makes the love list because he goes to, I think, a quarterback that might be more suited for him, a better play caller, honestly, and less competition for targets. Like he was in Las Vegas with Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfrow on a run first team. And so now he goes, yes, they have Saquon, but the fact of the matter is I'm not worried about Sterling Shepard or Richie James or, you know, Darius Slayton
Isaiah Hodgins.
They have a lot of guys there, and we'll see sort of who emerges for the Giants, but feels like Darren Waller has a chance to be the focal point of this passing offense the way that Mark Andrews is, the way that Travis Kelce is, the way that where there are some tight ends that are the focal point of their team's passing offense. I think Waller has that opportunity potentially.
Moving over to the hate list for pass catchers, and Jay, this one's kind of easy. Tom Brady retires. The Bucs seem content rolling forward with Kyle Trask or giving him opportunity. Not the best news for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah, as much as Tom Brady apparently doesn't like my content, I do think he is a very good quarterback and good at what he does, and better than Baker Mayfield. I think it's a huge red flag for Baker Mayfield that Sam Darnold looks so good in Carolina by comparison when he came in, because you can just throw it all out and be like, oh, it's Carolina, it's a disaster. It's like, oh, no, Darnold was actually pretty good. Why weren't you that good, Baker? And so now, Godwin's and Evans, are they even going to be on the team necessarily? I think that's in a little bit of flux, and certainly Baker, with how poorly he played in Carolina, and yeah, he was a little bit better on the Rams. He didn't have much around him, so I can't really judge that too much. But certainly a huge downgrade for those receivers.
Lawrence, earlier you talked about the Odell Beckham sweepstakes, and that could impact somebody like Alan Lazard that makes the hate list. We know Garrett Wilson is there. Yes, Elijah Moore out, but if Odell goes to the Jets, Lazard is kind of somebody that maybe falls to third or fourth in the pecking order of targets, even if Aaron Rodgers is there.
Yeah, well, with Lazard, no matter what happens at the end of the day, I expect him to have his same role that he's always had. Like, just being Aaron Rodgers' best friend on the offense outside of Randall Cobb, he'll be his little buddy, you know what I'm saying? But when Aaron Rodgers want to win, he know he's going to have to go to Garrett Wilson, potentially Odell Beckham Jr., maybe Mecole Hardman gets up in there somewhere. They've already said they're going to expand his role from what he had with the Chiefs. So Alan Lazard will definitely be serviceable from a football standpoint, and he can come up with the timely big catch and be clutch. But from a consistent fantasy standpoint, I wouldn't love it.
The argument for him last year was he was the only veteran wide receiver, really, and Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. He's not going to be Aaron Rodgers' favorite target in New York. That's going to be Garrett Wilson, who had a 25% target share last year. Even though Lazard and Rodgers are close personally, the fact is that last year, when Alan Lazard saw fewer than 7 targets, he averaged 9.2 fantasy points per game. Like, he needs – the pro-Alan Lazard argument is he needs to be the number one, and he's not going to be the number one in New York. You didn't even mention, by the way, like, they still have Corey Davis on the roster, right? And we expect Breece Hall to be back, and he'll be involved in the passing game.
Yep.
Like, I just – you know,
Tyler Conklin steals targets.
Right, exactly.
It's
right?
Crazy.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I'm with you, Lawrence, like a better NFL player than fantasy move for Alan Lazard.
And it's always kind of been like that for him. Like, we don't be like, oh, Alan Lazard is bad. It's just that nobody started with fantasy.
Yep.
Barry, how about this one? Darnell Mooney.
Sure.
The Bears, it seems like things are starting to trend in the right direction for the improvement of this offense. But is it just that the wide receiver room all of a sudden looks a little more crowded considering the bare bones it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is you know, look, Darnell Mooney has had a 26% target share over the last two seasons, and yet last year was wide receiver 57 on a points-per-game basis. Like, you know, DJ Moore, over that same time frame last 2 years, 28% target share. So Mooney goes from being the number one now to, at best, the number two. We don't know how they feel about Chase Claypool. There's a chance that Mooney is number three. And by the way, there's a chance that, in terms of the passing game, he's actually number four after Cole Kmet, because they really like Kmet as well. And so are the targets going to be there? I feel like Darnell Mooney is going to be a guy that they're going to take some deep shots to. And when he hits on those, like, he'll have a big game, but he's going to be really kind of a touchdown-dependent deep threat, which will be nice for Justin Fields. But on an offense that's still probably going to, you know, that'll go through Justin Fields' legs more often than not, it's hard to get excited about Darnell Mooney. Again, when you get somebody like DJ Moore, DJ Moore is going to command 10 targets a game.
Jay, the last one on the hate list, Dalton Schultz goes from the Cowboys offense to the Texans offense. We don't know who's going to be under center for the Texans offense yet, but we do know that it's probably going to be a little bit of a work in progress no matter who the rookie quarterback is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a concern because Schultz had such an amazing rapport with Dak Prescott, and then when we saw him with Cooper Rush, it just wasn't there. And just being in that high-octane offense where he was getting very healthy usage to now going to obviously a much worse offense with more role uncertainty. And look, there's not going to be that many guys competing with him for targets, guys like Nico Collins and John Metchie, Robert Woods, but at the same time, just having no idea who the quarterback is going to be. Like, if it's Bryce Young, sure, but it could also potentially be, you know, Anthony Richardson or something, then just who knows?
It's a really important point because Bryce Young, incredible middle-of-the-field thrower. So if you insert him into that offense and you feel good about Schultz's role, anyone else, it's going to be a little questionable. And speaking of quarterbacks, let's do a couple love quarterbacks here, Barry.
Sure.
Former ride or die here, Daniel Jones, makes the love list. Really good year for Daniel Jones, gets paid, finishes QB8 in points per game. We know what he can do on the ground. And they finally are adding some more talent around him this offseason, and they will in the draft as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they add Darren Waller, he re-signs and comes back to the Giants, so he's back with Brian Daboll, who he had his best season as a pro by far. Daniel Jones was fine, and the most important thing is that Daboll uses his legs, and so that creates some fantasy value for Daniel Jones. They also kept Saquon Barkley, so they kept all the weapons from last year and added Darren Waller, a second year in Daboll's system, I think, for Daniel Jones, who no longer has to worry about. Remember, think about this last year. He goes in last year like new coach, media isn't sure about him, Giants didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He's just sort of like, am I out of football in a year? Like, what's my career? And now he leads the Giants to a playoff victory. He leads them to the playoffs. He leads them to a playoff victory. He obviously meshes well with Daboll. He signs the big deal in the offseason. Like, he comes into the season now knowing, I'm the man. I am the Giants' quarterback of the future. I don't have to worry about any outside noise. I can just focus on, you know, improving in this offense second year and again, adding Waller, getting Barkley back. Jones makes the love list among quarterbacks. To be candid, not a lot to choose from. There wasn't a lot of quarterback movement. I mean, we're still waiting on Rodgers, still waiting on Lamar, you know, whatever, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo. It was an unexciting quarterback free agency move. But the two ones that make the love list are Daniel Jones, are the two guys that basically stayed with their team, Daniel Jones and Lawrence Geno Smith coming back to Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, and this is another guy who was coming into the year. He was battling Drew Lock, so both him and Daniel Jones faced uncertainty. Both ended up in the playoffs. Both got new contracts, and that's why I would love Geno here. He lost no pass catches. He didn't lose any. Like, Rashad Penny's not a loss because he didn't play. Kenneth Walker ended up, you know, having a good season, 12 games with two or more touchdown passes this year. So, I mean, it's going to look pretty good for them, especially when you got the Rams in that division who's selling everybody. So that's one former elite team you don't have to worry about there. So still got the Niners, but it should be good for Geno.
Cardinals as well.
They're the worst team in football.
Yeah. I think the thing with Geno as well is that really young offensive line that just wasn't that good this season, they will get better. Mm. He's got weapons. For the first 5 weeks of last year, Geno was a top three, top four quarterback in the sport. And then he tailed off towards the end, but he still gets his numbers because his problem is just bizarre picks, but for fantasy purposes, he's still putting up stats, gets a lot of touchdowns, gets the yards, also uses his legs more than in the past, so Geno, a lot to like.
Yeah, especially because, like, there's a little bit more art than science to the love-hate list, and part of it I baked into the fact is, like, there were a lot of rumors around Geno Smith. Would they sign him? Were the Seahawks going to take a quarterback? Would they move up, you know? Would they move on from Geno Smith? And so the fact, again, that they gave him a deal, they gave him a nice deal, at least for this year. Like, I don't know about the future, like, can get out of the deal after 1 year, but for this season, Geno Smith will be the starting quarterback of the Seahawks, and to your point, still has Lockett, still has DK Metcalf,
still
has
Ken Walker. Is he still a QB1 for you?
If we're in a 12-team league, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think he's a borderline QB1.
Because, like, I know I at least expect a guy like a Russell Wilson to improve. You know?
I agree.
So that would have to knock somebody off.
Yes.
Ross Vigino is a fun one.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons. 100%. By the way, there are no quarterback hates. There's no one on the quarterback hate list. Like, I mean, like, Dak Prescott loses Dalton Schultz, but again, Brandon Cooks, okay? Yeah. I mean, like, Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi, I guess, loses Jacoby Myers, but gains Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes lost Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman, but oh, by the way, he's Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't matter. Like, there weren't any free agent moves that impacted any quarterbacks that we care about, you know, that in any significant way. So I didn't want to just force it. There are no quarterback hates.
No quarterback on the hate list. Matthew's going to be soft in the offseason, I think.
A little bit. I like you, Jay.
Somebody will come about, though, as we progress. Something's got to happen.
Right. Exactly.
We'll get to some draft talk in a second, but before we do, a reminder to download the RotoWorld app to receive breaking player news all season long. Stay ahead of the competition by favoriting players on your roster. Get the latest injury updates, player news, and much more delivered right to your phone. It's available in your app store today. All right, guys, this is where I get to be a little self-serving and look at my own big board here. How about that? The big board we have prepped today is carving out all of the fantasy-relevant players in this draft in the top 32. So, of course, not a huge surprise here. You guys know how much I like Bryce Young and Bijan Robinson. They are at the top. Bijan Robinson, special player in this class. I think where it gets kind of interesting is that handful of tight ends, and I've been telling you, Barry, this is really a year where we can refill or reset the tight end landscape in fantasy, which will be so important. And there's only two in here, Michael Mayer and Darnell Washington, but there's a lot of day two guys as well. So this is not a fantasy-rich class at wide receiver, but very rich at quarterback, which will help Dynasty Superflex. Running back is deep and notably tight end.
No question about it. I mean, I will say that, listen, Anytime there's an Ohio State wide receiver out there,
we're good,
right? You just sort of like. And I do think JSN, is anyone calling him JSN?
Oh yeah,
okay, he does himself.
Oh yeah, good, yeah, perfect. Yeah, yeah. Then I do think JSN becomes really interesting. I want to see where he lands.
I've heard some AR for Anthony Richardson. I don't know about that.
No,
well, that doesn't work
at all. Like
that is starting to get some run.
He dropped it.
Okay, good for him.
Yeah,
he sort of tri-ballooned it. He just workshopped it and just passed.
AR.
Yeah. No, I think he came out and dropped it. But some people just, run with their own
nicknames
there.
Move him up the draft
board
then. He dropped it.
Lawrence, any differences? I know you've been on this draft class pretty heavily for the last couple of weeks here now. Anything that stands out to you or somebody not on this list that you're really excited about?
Yeah, certainly. You got Bijan here. But no, let me talk about Jahmyr Gibbs, because he's a guy that could end up at the latter part of the first round, and that'll be a big difference, like whether he goes in the first, because obviously you'll get the fifth-year option down the line. But just knowing that you move up to get him, there's plans for him already, much like the Chiefs did for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That fizzled out, but, it made sense at the time. A tight end that could be a day two pick that could probably make some noise. Sam LaPorter, I know you know him out of Iowa.
Absolutely.
He's more of an H-back type of receiver from the tight end spot. Runs a 4.5 and a 40, about 6.4, 255. He's a guy that's like, man, who should I compare him to? He's not much like he's closer to Kyle Pitts than he is to Darnell Washington. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, you're not going to let him live on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And there's a lot.
You want to move him across the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Dalton Kincaid is
closer
like
to what
that.
We hope Kyle Pitts should be, not closer to how they currently use Kyle
closer
Pitts.
Closer to what he was like sometimes his rookie year.
Right.
Yeah, you get the joke.
What he was like at Florida,
but,
right?
Yeah.
Okay,
got
it. I've got one for you, Connor.
Yeah, please.
So Bijan Robinson is the most compelling fantasy guy on this list, clearly. Say that Bijan goes to a team where he is clearly the guy. So not
Bengals.
Dallas. Yeah, so a team like the Bengals. Is he going like top seven in drafts?
Yeah.
You take him over like Jonathan Taylor.
I think it'll be...
It's a conversation.
It'll 100%. Be a conversation. Yeah.
I will tell you this. Bijan, whether he should or not is another... But Bijan Robinson on the Bengals would absolutely go ahead of Jonathan Taylor just because he's new, he's exciting. Too many fantasy managers got burned by Taylor last year. They'll be like, he's
some
old.
Reservations,
he's,
yes.
He's hurt and blah, 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 blah. Like that, but that's a conversation. The fact that that's...
That's a first-round pick in
that's
fantasy.
A first-round pick.
Yep.
Bijan Robinson of the Bengals is a top 10 overall pick easy and probably doesn't get out of the top seven.
Yep. I agree. I think that's where we're going to be with him. And I really wonder how high can Gibbs go, because like you said, Lawrence, if he goes to a tailor-made spot, he'll be highly coveted. Not first round, but somebody that you look at and go, man, he can have a big time.
Because it's
like if he goes to the Chiefs, Like, you know, what the Chiefs, right?
This
right,
will again, be that one will be for real.
Right, no, but right, CEH has been disappointing. So far, Jarrett McKinnon hasn't, you know, is not on the team, you know.
Pacheco.
So they've got Pacheco, but do they, you know, Andy Reid traditionally is, or at least more recently, liked multiple running backs. So that becomes interesting. Does Gibbs go to the Bills? You know, like,
it'd
I know.
Be dangerous there, too.
I mean, I know they
Bills,
got Damien,
Dolphins,
I know they got Damien
Chiefs.
Harris, but. Damien Harris is interesting on the Bills too, like as we're talking sort of love hate. But like anyway, I just you know, who knows how they view him, they might view him as depth.
On a tight end, Connor, because it's such a barren position after you get past Kelsey, Andrews, the idea of Pitts, Kittle, and those type of guys, Hockenson, Michael Mayer and Darnell Washington, are they like right behind the, I guess, maybe even Darren Waller on the Giants you could put up in that kind of 5-6 range? If they're on the right team, can they be that relevant?
I say no for Washington because he will block so much, and he's just a weapon as that blocker. But for Mayer, and I'll even throw another name, Dalton Kincaid out of Utah in this, they are such reliable pass catchers in that 8 to 15-yard range and in the red zone that, yes, those two will be household names in the tight end fantasy landscape for the next 5 years because of how pro-ready they are as pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the offense. Kyle Pitts being the most recent example, like rookie tight ends tend to get overdrafted. It's very rare that a rookie tight end has a fantasy significant season. Evan Ingram, his rookie year was a big one because they had no one else there. Gronk's rookie season was great because he's Gronk. He had double-digit touchdowns. But generally speaking, there haven't been a lot of fantasy, you know, rookie tight ends that have had a massive fantasy impact.
I feel like
moments here or there, but like, you know.
The most, it usually goes the way of Isaiah Likely, where you get really excited in preseason and then he does basically nothing.
It's not opportunity, is what it is. And I know we've kind of run this example into the ground, but the Bengals are that team at the end of round one that I look at for tight end. And they've been looking at all the tight ends and go, well, that's a fantasy rookie that would make a lot of sense to produce because we saw them use Hayden Hurst as much as they did last year.
Yep.
So, what'll be interesting is we'll get to look at all this coming up. I don't know exactly what it is, but follow us on social to figure out what exactly our draft plans are. I can tell you that we will have when the NFL drafts, we will be reacting live or very close to live. All I know is it's closing time.
Yes, sir.
Which means you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Lawrence Jackson, Lord Don't Lose, Jay Croucher, and Connor Rogers, I am Matthew Berry. Thank you so much. We are off next week, but 2 weeks from now, we'll be back. In that time, just keep playing videos over on our NFL on NBC YouTube channel. We just want the clicks.
On the loop.
Just keep it on silent. Peace out.